there. Welcome back to another episode of MVP Business, where we showcase leaders who live through their mission, vision, and passion. I'm your host, Steph Silver, owner of Vine Collective, a branding and coaching agency that helps organizations and individuals to clarify vision and rise to the next level of their work, home, and spiritual lives. This episode is part of a local series focused on Wimberley Valley organizations in partnership with Wimberley Valley Radio and brought to you by Ozona Bank. Today's guest is Helena Hawk, co-owner of Creek Haven Inn and Spa, a beautiful bed and breakfast just minutes from Wimberley Square. Helena is not only dedicated to a healing, relaxing getaway for her guests, she's also dedicated to the health and success of this wonderful community. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Steph, for having me.
Well, I'm really excited to talk with you here. We've been working together on several different things, and I've been spending time on your beautiful property. It's amazing. I don't know why it took me so long to get there.
I don't know either.
Or anybody else who hasn't been there.
Right.
But let's back up a little bit so that you can tell all of the wonderful and amazing stories and the journey that got you to where you are, because you have so many talents that are kind of the backdrop of what Creek Haven is now. So tell us your story.
It's a long meandering story. Where to begin? When I was 14 years old, I discovered there was such a thing as a bed and breakfast, which I thought was just so fascinating. Randomly, I was volunteering at the Chamber of Commerce in Greater Las Cruces, New Mexico. And that's where I stumbled upon just learning about business and commerce and tourism and hospitality. And it just sucked me in and was just fascinated. So I began just to soak up as much information as I could. I found that there was a high school course that led into a tourism college credit at the local university at NMSU. And that was my first formal educational pursuit, as it were. And I just continued on from there throughout school. I was an academic, ambitious high schooler. I was not your traditional kid. I did ag and jobs outside of school and didn't pursue sports. I was working. And so fast forward, I got a scholarship to go to the University of Houston, Conrad Hilton School for Hotel and Restaurant Management, a mouthful, and was in Houston for 5 years and working and pursuing my degree alongside each other. Had some really great work experiences, including from waiting tables, front of the house, operations at restaurants and hotels, and then back of the house as well. And spent 2 years at the Houston Club, where I had a lot of interesting experiences there. Events, membership, marketing, all kinds of good stuff. And then I got an internship at the Calgary Chamber of Commerce in Calgary, Canada. And when I came home to the States from that internship, there's lots of wine drinking stories that, like, I want to share those stories over a glass of wine more so than over a podcast to fill in all of those gaps. So fast forward, when I came home to the States, my parents were in Kyle, Texas, just down the road. And after a 32-hour straight drive home, 2 days later, I went to a chamber networking event with my father. He was managing an RV dealership in Buda. And I found out that they needed an admin. And so I applied there, started working, and became the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce in Kyle. And
how long did that take?
I was there for just about 2 years. Mm-hmm. My father had been diagnosed with cancer, and he was actually given 90 days to live. And I had been pursued by one of my members, or board members of the chamber, to consider changing careers and pursue lending. A very niche commercial real estate financing product that is an SBA government backed product and lots of compliance. It's a very obscure program. It's not the first program you think about when you say, I need to get a loan to grow my business, but it's definitely a very beneficial program. I've come to really be passionate about it. But in any case, I had found out my father didn't have much time left and I wasn't making the most income to be able to contribute to help my mom in any way, shape, or form. I felt if my dad wasn't going to be here, I really needed to step up and help my mom somehow. So I asked for an interview with this lending position and I got hired and spent 13 years as a small business lender. Became an expert in the SBA 504 and 7A lending space, had my own consulting firm, went to Colorado, helped grow or start an organization that ultimately wasn't the best fit for myself and my family at the time. I'd also found out I was pregnant with my daughter, our second child, And my best friend and my mom were trying to get us back to Texas. And so again, another margarita story in there. And we came back to Central Texas. This was now fast forward 2016. And I had been hired on by a bank out of Houston to start their SBA department in Central Texas and to lead that team. And just as when my husband and I came back to Texas from Colorado, that whole experience really opened my eyes to realizing that I was not on the path to pursuing my passion. And I watched a lot of cooking shows like Emeril Lagasse and their life story. And I was just fascinated by the fact that so many of these amazing chefs and fill in the blank by celebrity who knew what they wanted to do since they were very young, set out on that path, pursued it, mastered it, are amazing, loving life, and so on. Not everybody obviously has that whole story, but I was just looking inward going, what am I missing? Why are things not lining up for me? I was unhealthy. I was suffering from migraines and adrenal fatigue, barreling towards complete adrenal burnout, was just constantly sick while raising two children and leading teams and trying to grow multi-million dollar SBA departments and help, always trying to help others. And I finally got to the bottom of understanding that natural inclination towards hospitality and working with people and helping other people was what I loved about my banking job. And all of the lack of control and arbitrary rules, and you can be so passionate and have and check all the right boxes for a client and still not get a deal done for them because you have folks in a boardroom that have never met this person, these businesses making the decisions on where they're lending their money. And the disconnect between the two and the effort was just really weighing on me alongside my health declining big time. And I saw a lot of parallels in my father's health decline to what I was experiencing. And I told my husband, something's got to change. We've got to redirect this energy and figure out how to just get off the train. And so with that, we had an interesting experience while we were in Colorado, where we ran across a bed and breakfast that had been burnt down in Morrison, Colorado, near Red Rocks Amphitheater. And it was the first time in our relationship where we both had ideas, or we just had this real beautiful, energetic exchange of, oh, I love that. I had that idea too. And we could do this and we could do that. And we were just starting to unfold this vision of owning a bed and breakfast together that we had never really talked about before. And so when we came back to Texas, we said, let's revisit that discussion and let's put a 5 to 10 year plan together on trying to pursue that. So there's a couple of things kind of weaved in here. Still working full time for a bank, have a newborn and a toddler. And basically the whole year of 2017, I had 3 surgeries just on a constant health decline and just weekly migraines. I mean, just constantly sick and still constantly trying to pursue. And I remember it was a Sunday afternoon. I'd gotten off the phone with my chief credit officer fighting for one of my clients. And I said, I can't do this anymore. We've got to do something different. So we had already determined that we wanted to have something in the Hill Country. We were in Spring Branch at the time. And we had bought the domain Hill Country Haven. We knew we wanted it in the Hill Country and it to be some sort of a haven. I had been pursuing an integrative nutrition coaching certification as a means just to better understand health and wellness for myself. And it sparked a passion in me for, if I'm going through this, surely other people are. How can I be a positive cog in the wheel of all this and bring this forward to share with others? And so we actually looked at land all over the Hill Country and found this property that was near a wedding venue and another wedding venue opening. And we were about to put down a deposit on securing the land to build a home for ourselves and then 2 cottages. And I had a vision of being able to host people not only for the weekends for weddings, because there's no lodging near these wedding venues. So I thought, well, 25% occupancy right there, easy peasy, and then build this wellness retreat type of an environment. And after I got off the phone that Sunday, because we were going to put an offer the next week, I said, I'm going to just see. We had dismissed buying somebody else's business because having been a lender for 13 years, I did a lot of business acquisitions. And so I had witnessed what it looks like to buy someone else's problems. And sometimes it worked out well, sometimes it didn't. And in hospitality, you just don't know what from a venue, the physical structure standpoint, and having a background in commercial real estate construction and financing, all of that, I was just really hesitant to step into anybody else's anything. And of course, after having that kind of aha moment, after I got off the phone that day, I did a quick search and I found Creek Haven Inn was for sale. And I just literally did a Google search. And I remember Don was working in the yard. I was on the back porch and I said, "Hey, what do you know about Creek Haven?" Rewind real quick. Right after Don and I got engaged, he moved down from Dallas to Kyle and got an assistant innkeeper position at Inn Above Onion Creek, which is now Sage Hill Inn Above Onion Creek. And he worked there for 5 years. So that was his first exposure into hospitality and he loved it. And when he worked there, they had business to each other. So Creek Haven would refer to Inn Above Onion Creek and vice versa. So he had some familiarity to them, knew them as a premier property in the space. And so from there, I called the owners and I said, interested in looking at the properties, just getting a peek behind the veil, so to speak. And of course, she told me, "Well, yeah, sure. Well, we can meet with you. Of course, you'll have to have a considerable down payment." And I'll remind you, we had just started our 5 to 10 year plan to save money, to build a property and so on, meaning we didn't have any money. It's regular people trying to live the dream and figure out how to make it happen. And, "Oh yeah, sure. No problem. We can get investors together. We can be creative. We can figure this out." But they were going to be out of town for 2 weeks. And so we set up a meeting to meet when they got back. That same day, I was at a closing in Lockhart, and on my way back, the MapQuest took me, or whatever map program, took me home to Spring Branch through Wimberley. So I drove through the property at that time. I think it was Memorial Weekend. Don and I came up that weekend, drove through the property, tried to look around, but it was booked by a family. And anyway, we just started just pursuing and nibbling at whatever kind of information we could start gathering. And anyway, we met with Bill and Pat, hit it off, had a great first discussion with them, establishing our interest, our background, etc., and really just sharing with them, "We'll figure this out. We'll come up with investors." And all the while, we'd leave the meeting going, "Okay, how are we going to do this?" So fast forward, I put together a structure that was a lease with option to buy that allowed us to remove some barriers to entry, which of course is usually a hefty down payment, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I put a lease structure together. And I basically presented to Bill and Pat and I said, the previous owners, "Either you can make more money off of us or I can dilute our earnings and ownership and get investors. And that there's not a big margin here to dilute with. Here's a business opportunity for you." And made it appealing and it worked. So we had a 5 year runway. And basically what that means is we gave ourselves a 5 year lease, an absolute net lease, which means we were responsible for everything with the real estate. So if there was a repair that needed to be made, property taxes that needed to be paid, you name it, we were responsible. We went back and forth on a lot of the details. I didn't want them going off into retirement. They had a mortgage payment still to make and then not make their payment. And then the bank comes and we did everything right. So I made their payment for them. Like, we put a lot of safeguards in place for each other. We created an extremely transparent working environment between each other where we basically were, "You guys can go vacation in Florida and start your retirement process and give us the reins, so to speak, and draw lines in the sand on revenue and all the things from a technical standpoint." There's a lot of technical components that went into it and just had a lot of trust and a lot of faith. And we all leapt and it worked. And then, of course, we got handed one problem after another from day one. First, our website, we're relaunching a new website. We rebranded with a new logo. The website kept getting hacked and we kept getting on the Google no-fly zone. You look like you've been spammed and hacked by China. And so we had to move domain hosting servers. I mean, there was a lot of technical things. Don had to build and rebuild the site. He's amazing in that skill set where he can just look things up, read things, and figure out how to do whatever. And then, of course, we start to get our feet under us about halfway through 2019. So we took over December 1st, 2018. It's about halfway through 2019. We're finally getting through things. And we agree we weren't going to spend a penny on the property that wasn't necessary from a cosmetic standpoint. Again, from my experience in business acquisition financing, you don't go in and start changing things, no matter how much you think. It's just a big no-no. You go in, you wear it, you experience it, you do it. then you start identifying low-hanging fruit priorities and you go from there. And a lot of that comes from guest feedback or client feedback. And that's where you prioritize your first action steps. So then we quickly determined that the decor was 20 years old. It was very relevant at the time that it was, but it was very dated now. And so we just started kind of lipstick on a pig type of thing. I started painting and just cosmetic things. We took out all of the heavy draped linens that you couldn't wash every guest turn, turn them to duvets and duvet inserts, and really where you could start turning things over. Started removing, becoming a toxin-free environment. I have a lot of brain and headache triggers and allergens. And again, with my integrative nutrition background, I learned all of these things about just toxins and the body's being constantly assaulted every day with all of these different environmental toxins. And so removing as much of that as possible, clean and clear laundry detergent and no perfumes and dyes, and starting to change the menu to where we could incorporate some more scratch made offerings, and just one thing at a time, little by little. Then we got hit with COVID, got shut down, lost 6 weeks worth of revenue and lots of deposits, lots of angry people that we had no way to combat that. Well, I'm coming for a wedding and I'm never coming there again if they're not getting married. So I don't want a gift certificate, or I don't want this or that. It was quite challenging in a lot of ways. But the first 18 months that we were owners of the inn, both Dawn and I worked at our baking jobs outside of the inn full time. And in March of 2020, I got laid off from my banking job because the bank said they weren't going to be doing any more small business lending right now because everything was uncertain. And my mom was working as an underwriter and packager for a national lender service provider. We all were doing SBA. We're all SBA specialists. So the next priority is PPP. So while we were crickets at the inn, we stayed in place at the inn so that way we could be there to respond to anything that showed up, came up, whatever. But we were processing PPP loans, all three of us, 24/7, around the clock. I had several lenders in town that were referring local businesses and churches to me that I had been networking with prior to getting laid off. And so there was about 30 businesses here locally and churches that I was able to source for P. Got our loans for PPP, SBA idols. I did UTSA SBDC consulting for a bit too for their COVID response team, and just tried to stay nimble and flexible and aware and respond to the opportunities and the challenges that were getting thrown at us. And then fast forward to the fall of 2020. Once everything opened up in May of 2020, we just went up. Our trajectory went a nice line chart. You see it going up and up. Every month, we surpassed the previous month on gross revenue, and we just couldn't believe what was happening. People wanted to get out. They wanted to stay local. They wanted to be able to have their own air conditioner or their whatever. And so in September of 2020, we refinanced the acquisition with a loan, with an SBA loan, with the program that we knew, or that we knew so well. And so the Applemans or the previous owners were able to get that first kind of big payoff. And so we had our 5-year runway. We hit it in 18 months with all of these challenges that were thrown at us and continued to grow. In the first 3 years of ownership, we tripled the top line revenue.
Well done.
Thank you. And we basically just trying to run the business like a business. And there's nothing negative in that. The previous owners, they were in a semi-retirement mode. And so there were investments they weren't willing to make back into the property or the operations, and that worked for them. But we really have taken a very business-minded approach at growing a business and being very deliberate and intentional about everything that we're bringing into the space. And you mentioned values-driven businesses, and that's been 100% at the core of everything we do, from a clean environment, and I mean that in kind of every sense of the word. So supporting women-owned businesses, local businesses, in the products that we're selling, that we're featuring, that we're utilizing, from our linens to our coffee. The very first change we made was the coffee. We were at Boo Hole, which is a local October Halloween fest at our Blue Hole Park. And there was a vendor there, Dee's Roastery, and it's a local organic roastery, and the Sweet Family is a wonderful couple that own it. And that was the first change we made from the Sam's Club coffee. So we took one little thing here and there, but constantly at it. If there was a guest feedback that said, well, this could have been better. And every single guest, we asked the question, what could we have done to make your stay better? And we asked them that in person. We do follow-up surveys and emails, but we implement it. And sometimes we can respond right then and there to a guest suggestion need. We had one guest, and this is not something, of course, that you can do easily anytime, but we have our own list of things we want to do. And then when a guest comes in and says, well, I thought this room had a fireplace, for example, that's not an easy one to fix. But we have this one suite that is kind of a cabin-like feel. It's called our Creek House. And there's no place to put a fireplace because it's a rock wall, at least easily. And so we thought, well, we'll put it, we'll go to Lowe's and buy an electric fireplace. It'll still be a nice ambiance and an enhancement to the experience. And so we went and bought it right there during their stay. They were in for like another 3 nights. We're just blown away that we went and did that. They're makeup mirrors. So we've tried to put makeup mirrors in all the rooms. And it's funny because I'll have women in their 60s, 70s, these old eyes, I need a little magnification and it would really help. And I tell them, it doesn't matter what age you are. If that's helpful, we'll see what we can do. And so we try. And then if there's a local product, so our bath, all of our toiletries, the shampoo, conditioner, body wash, hand soap, and lotion in our rooms are Hummingbird Farms, which is a woman-owned business out of High between Johnson City and Fredericksburg. And it's a wonderful quality product, and we get to support a local woman-owned business. Our bath products from a Bath Bombs and Bubble Bath are handmade and handcrafted in Houston by another woman-owned business. Our spa, our facial line, a woman-owned business. She's a little further away, but it took me 2 years to land on that product line because I wasn't finding a product that met the values that was clean, organic, and woman-owned and accessible. That's the other thing is it doesn't need to be hundreds of dollars to be a good quality product. And recently I've come across an introduction from you, for example, for another product out of Austin that I'm interested in exploring further. And right now I have inquiries into tea companies and chocolates and all kinds of things in and around the Austin area. But I'm just in a constant pursuit of who, what, when, where can I support within our offering? How can I enhance the guest experience and also support a local owned business? So.
Yeah. And another area that you seem to have at the top of your mind, you seem to have a lot of things at the top of your mind, but
it's very busy out there.
It's busy out there. It's effective though. So that's good. The concept of integrative wellness, you mentioned the certification in integrative nutrition, but you were just talking about clean products in the rooms, but tell us about some of the other things that you have implemented into the inn, like the food and dietary options, and then things that you have kind of thinking about on the horizon. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at the beginning of 2020, before the bottom fell out, personally, in my wellness journey, decided I wanted to do a mind, body, soul kind of just focus for the year. And there was a local wellness event that was going on every February that hasn't happened for the last 2 years. And I met a yoga instructor and an Ayurveda 101 breakout at this particular event. Also Mary as well there. And so I was just fascinated by Ayurveda. I had tried yoga myself numerous times over the years, and sometimes it actually made me sick because there's this theory, or I guess I'll use the word theory, that sometimes your body is so toxic and so sick that when you try to do something good for it, it just releases the toxins into your system and it refloods your system and makes you feel sick again. So your pursuit of well-being seemed almost impossible because every time you do something good, it feels bad. And that's exactly what I kept experiencing. But I kept filling a pool towards yoga and just this holistic idea of wellness. And of course, I had been exposed through the integrative nutrition coaching program as well. In any case, I committed to the yoga immersion that was starting in May of 2020, in February. The instructor, Becky, she had a local yoga studio lined up to host it. And it was a 3-month immersion, 200-hour yoga teacher training. The first half was an immersion, and then you could continue on to become a certified yoga instructor. And so I committed to that process with her. And then COVID happened, she said, I'm going to have to cancel the class. And I was like, no,
you cannot.
You can't. I'm ready for this. Finally, my teacher has appeared. I'm ready to commit. And so I offered to host it outside at Creek Haven. And that opportunity just opened my eyes to, one, the ability, the opportunity, the potential for Creek Haven to be a backdrop for many more transformative experiences like I had just going through the yoga immersion and teacher training. And I really, I felt since the day that we looked at Creek Haven that it is meant to be the backdrop for transformative experiences. However simple or small to significant those experiences may be, from a couple coming to retreat and just reconnect on their anniversary and having quiet time away from the kids, to yoga and women's wellness resets, where you really have an opportunity as an individual to connect with yourself at a new, whole new level that you didn't know was possible, or getting exposure to a new modality or technique of healing and wellness, a kind of a discovery level of accessing new areas that you just might not have been exposed to before.
Yeah, right now you have the spa, which has a lot of standard treatments, but you also mm-hmm. are currently offering Reiki, mm-hmm. and you've talked about integrating sound mm-hmm. bath, yes. which is something that a lot of people haven't experienced, but it's really transformative.
It is, yeah. And that's one of the things, of course, I can ramble on at minute detail, but there were spa services. There was an outcall style massage offering when we took over, and I wanted to have a dedicated spa space to create this, the ambiance in the space, and to really immerse yourself into the relaxation and hire practitioners that are the best in the area that we can get our hands on, to not only from a traditional Swedish relaxation massage, which in itself is healing and therapeutic, to deep tissue, a little more of a sports therapy, just therapeutic stretching and movement. There's some of our guests will walk out of a massage going, I didn't know I needed that. No. Oh boy, that was amazing. To, yes, amazing facials and Ayurvedic scalp oil treatments and Reiki, which is it's in simple terms, the movement of energy through a skilled practitioner that's channeling the support there. Everything has energy in it. And it's just mind-blowing once you start really learning about all of that. There are scientific components to it beyond the metaphysical. So I know a lot of people kind of think of Wimberley like Sedona, very woo-woo. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing when you start to see the effects for your own health and wellness. And yes, sound bath. Sound is so healing in so many different ways. I shouldn't say sound bath. Sound therapy sessions is more better accepted term. There's a local practitioner that I adore and I love working with her, and I'm hoping that we can integrate more consistently her skills, the spa and wellness offering, yoga classes. So I've had yoga instructors and I have instructed myself. So we'll be bringing, winter is a tough time for us because our setting is so outdoor. It's immersing in nature as part of the experience with Creek Haven. We're on Cypress Creek. We have almost 1,000-year-old trees. It's just amazing to be in the presence of the nature that not only is within Wimberley, but on Creek Haven, on the Creek Haven property. But being able to expand upon all of that immersion and additional wellness modalities, I'm really looking forward to continuing to expand upon those in the outdoor setting. Our biggest challenge at our property is we don't have a ton of available air-conditioned space. We have one restroom that's not in a guest room. We don't have a ton of parking. We're kind of in an island on our own back there because we're tucked next to a creek and other properties. And we just can't build on the property and expand in the way that we would love to expand for all these offerings. So anyway, we lean on nature. We've got a ton of beautiful lawn space and creekside space where being able to have these different experiences. But winter sets us back and we have to adjust our schedules. So coming into the spring, we'll be rolling out yoga by the creek again, days and Thursdays. I think in February, we'll be able to start rolling those out, but hopefully, well, not hopefully, you'll just keep follow us on Facebook and Instagram mm-hmm. to see that. And we'll keep you posted there. And then Steph and I and some other locals are working on some workshops and retreats that we hope to unveil very soon here at Creek Haven. And just begin the next stage of unfolding our wellness offering at Creek Haven. Oh, and I didn't talk about the food, but...
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, that was going to be one of my next questions. You did change up the menu quite a bit. You have a lot of experience. You're trained. And then you also, it's not just that you have a passion for good food. You now have this understanding about wellness you didn't have when you went into that journey.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm semi-classically formally trained in cooking. That was a requirement at U of H, the Conrad Hilton School. And for simplicity's sake, pre-packaged, pre-made items that were outsourced for the breakfast menu with the previous owners. And we began just making things from scratch, from scones to a numerous array of pastries. And in the early days, Dawn and I were in the kitchen predominantly, and we played a lot. We experimented with things, but we started one raw ingredient at a time as we could afford to do so, started swapping out to organic ingredients, getting more tuned in with gluten-free baking. We have an amazing in-house staple granola recipe that's gluten-free, and it's just very light and refreshing.
And you have a vegan version of it?
We have a vegan version. We actually were gifted a recipe book from a friend of ours out of Lincoln, Nebraska. It's actually the bank that Dawn works for is based out of Lincoln. And it's a lady that owns a bakery that has a lot of intolerances herself. In her bakery, she offers a lot of gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan, completely free from baking. And she does an amazing job with it. She came out with a cookbook that has conversions for pretty much every recipe to be fully all in, all the good slash bad stuff to vegan flax eggs, for example, how to make a flax egg to replace a traditional chicken egg. There's just a number of things that she teaches you in each of the recipes. And so we've played with some of those recipes. Our standard cinnamon roll recipe has come out of there, and that is a traditional cinnamon roll recipe. And if you're not intolerant, but you choose to be free from, it's a good one to cheat with. There's an amazing apricot oat bar recipe. I get asked for the recipe all the time. I get asked for a frittata recipe all the time. It's been interesting. So there was a buffet with these pre-packaged, pre-ordered items. And we went to continuing the buffet, but making things from scratch. And scones was the first thing I started to master. Organic fruit in the scones where possible. There's this great frozen mixed berry scone with a lime glaze and fresh zested lime in the dough. It's really a special one. Anyway, I've come up with over 25 different scone recipes and have fun with it. At one point, one of my team members had a t-shirt made for me that said Scone Queen. And so we called Dawn's the Cinnamon Roll King and I'm the Scone Queen. But we've played with a lot of different things. We've hosted groups where there's been lots of different dietary restrictions and everybody's going through something or trying to pinpoint what it is that is making them ill or feel bad or fill in the blank. And there's just a lot of suffering that's happening out there. And some of it is stemmed from what we're putting in our bodies. And so, again, part of that integrative nutrition component is how can I support people in what they're going through? And it could be from a vegan. I think we've gotten a lot better at the vegan offering, tofu scrambles and meatless bacon and sausage and whatnot. There's some things that I've made that I'm like, wow, I would eat that every day. That's pretty darn good. But really, it's just sauteing vegetables together and just making things from scratch and sourcing really clean ingredients sometimes can make all the difference in a recipe coming together and really tasting really good. I have a tomato basil soup recipe that everybody loves and it's very creamy, but there's no cream in it. I can make it completely vegan, or I can add chicken stock and vegetable stock, for example, and it can go either way. But just the way that you make things, the way that you source things, the way that you incorporate them can make all the difference and it just tasting amazing. And then everything's made with love. So you get that too.
So now the tough question. We talked about all the things that are in your mind. You're working with the city on all sorts of different matters, Chamber of Commerce, hotel occupancy tax, and all the different things. Like thinking about how to connect and give back and how to grow your own business and provide health and wellness and retreat. How do you take care of yourself and continue to think about your own wellness?
I'm constantly resetting. Like most women and the mother figure giver role, the ultimate feminine, constantly giving back. I have learned a lot about self-care and I have found a big attraction towards slowing and going inward more. I think it has to do too right now, trying to line up with the seasons a little bit better. Winter is more of a slowing, a restorative time. And so just taking more downtime, trying to incorporate in bath time, baths and reading and podcasts and relationship building too. That's an important part of what I kind of restore from. So trying to constantly come back to it, because I think it doesn't matter how good you are at self-care, self-awareness, your own personal wellness needs, something's always going to pull you away from it. And so having just the awareness to know I'm being pulled away and to bring yourself back to center. I do a lot of meditation and I'm constantly consuming in the podcasts and books and just, I mean, anything I can get my hands on, more or less. This doesn't all happen by myself. I have an amazing team. My mom is an amazing, huge component in me being able to do all of these things, and Dawn incorporating into that as well and helping with the kids. And everybody contributes in their own way. It's not rainbows and unicorns. It's not perfect all the time. And more of a recent allowance and acceptance of, again, that awareness and growing as a personal, as an individual human being on my own continued wellness journey. And I guess it's just not any one way, any one thing. It's a lot of things, and definitely it takes a village to make it all happen. So
has your health improved since you got out of lending and started paying more attention to making decisions that are healthy for you? Because I want to kind of take the moment to reiterate that a wellness journey is individual.
For sure.
Certain things that are healthy decisions for some people are not for others.
Right.
So you've had to discover that along the way.
Yes. Stress was a big component of my illness, not being well. But stress is everywhere. It still is everywhere today. And it's how you manage it and having tools to manage. Guided meditations and yoga, breathing, just stopping and breathing are huge components of that. But yes, in October of 2017, I was having weekly, multi-day migraines with vomiting and just completely debilitating, not able to function at all, weekly. So I would come out of one after 3 days and I would start to get going again and I'd be right back down. And so now my migraines are more monthly. I still have some debilitating migraines. The last couple months that I actually, now that I've had them, I've been able to curtail them and still have a day to navigate. Whereas before I would not even be able to, I'd be in a dark room with an ice pack and no noise. And I mean, just completely shut off from the world, which having newborns, I mean, not being able to hear your kids' happy sounds is just heartbreaking. And that was my why. That was like, I've got to do something. I can't keep going on and not be able to interact with my own children because I'm so ill that I can't handle it. And so fast forward to today, there's ups and downs, there's starts and stops, there's progress, to 2 steps forward, 1 step back, 2 steps forward, 4 steps back sometimes. But it's definitely a continuous process and definitely much improved. When I committed to my yoga journey, I was really nervous that I was going to pay this money and make this investment and not be able to be well through it. And amazingly, not only did I do well through it, I thrived, I excelled, I was most improved. I definitely was the furthest away from the goal when I started from the other students there. But I've learned so much. I've incorporated so much in these past few years. I've met some amazing practitioners in this community in particular, and have been able to explore lots of new areas that weren't even on my radar before. And that's where I go back to being able to create a safe space for discovery for others that might be in that same career. Go, I'm sick, I don't feel well, but I don't know what's wrong with me. Or I go to the doctor and they can't pinpoint anything, or I just get put on these meds and nothing's helping me. The biggest benefit I've gotten from anything has been breath work and meditation, slowing down and just focusing in on where the pain is, where the discomfort is, where the whatever is, and giving that space and processing through. And there's old traumas and old wounds and hurts. Our first child I lost in delivery at 42 weeks, and I almost didn't survive myself. Wow. And I've done a lot of processing in that loss with her here in Wimberley in particular, and have had a lot of great breakthroughs in that. And so it's even been an important space, allowing for me to have those opportunities for unfolding. I'm going to get all emotional here, but I want so badly for others to feel that, to experience that. And I've had so many opportunities with the guests that I have experienced at the inn where we're hugging each other and crying together because we have created that space for them. I'm heartfelt because it's happening, like it's really happening. And they're just heartfelt because somebody, a human being, has expressed and shared human kindness and created real authentic space for that to happen. And we need more of that.
Wimberley itself has such a beautiful healing energy and spirit, I think, and the members of the community here. And then your space being kind of right in the center of it on the creek, there's an energy there that I agree is kind of meant to foster renewal.
Renewal, reinvigoration, rediscovery. I was sharing with you the other day that we came up with this re-campaign, What's Your Reason? And there's just so many words that are so relevant and they might hit home differently with a different person. Maybe there's meant to reconnect with themselves, a sibling, a mom, you name it. There's just so much of that, a rediscovery, a recommitment, just relaxing. We don't stop and relax and give ourselves just space to just be anymore. And
yeah, isn't it wild that my first introduction to meditation or anything in that realm was realizing how much I needed to just take a deep breath before a big call or meeting. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, that completely changed my physiology and the success of the meeting. Mm-hmm. What would a 5-minute meditation do? What would a 10-minute meditation do? Much less a whole 2 or 3 day getaway.
Right. I mean, taking just a couple days out of the year for you. And it's interesting because no matter what you believe in, there is provable data, facts out there to support the benefits of meditation, if it's of slowing down and stopping.
And the benefits of being in nature.
And the benefits of being in nature, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So you don't even have to really get out in it. Mm-hmm. They, in hospitals, the reason why almost all hospital rooms have windows now or have an indoor garden is because of the healing power of even just seeing nature. In hospitals, if they don't have access to outdoor windows, like say it's an older building, mm-hmm. they've replaced all the old cityscape photos with images of nature. And an image of nature is going to have more healing power than anything, any other image.
Exactly. If you're a stats-driven person, you can find it. If you're a feely, metaphysical person, you can find that. There's so much to support it. One of the new things that I've been able to do in Wimberley is I'm a contributing author to the Wimberley Living magazine in the wellness category. So that's been a really different, fun, and interesting thing for me to get to explore. And I've really enjoyed the relationship and the feedback that I have with the editor, Ashley Brown. She'll give me direct feedback on, oh, I would go a different direction with this or whatever. But that's been, I think, part of the healing journey too, is being able to share in a different platform. And so writing about forest bathing and sound immersion and different elements of the integrative nutrition coaching principles and various things along those lines has been a fun experience for me here. And you had mentioned talking about the incorporation into the community. I'm a firm believer in giving back and being a part of community. And it's not enough to have a business and pay taxes. My kids go to the school here. We are members of the Wimberley Youth Sports Association for soccer. My daughter's about to start gymnastics here with a local business owner, which is a woman-owned business too, by the way. And I'm now on the chamber board, the Merchants Association, City of Wimberley Occupancy Tax Advisory Council, Air Committee, and the Economic Development Committee. And I believe that while that's a lot, and it is, they're all connected. I'm meant to be a bridge to bring different initiatives together. Everyone that I meet is a wonderful initiative and intention, and everyone wants to do good things for this community. And so, but some folks are doing the same thing in different ways, and there's opportunities to bring people together and either make the effort by way of many hands make less work, make light work, right? Or, and the rising tides rises all ships. Those concepts I believe in completely. And I do believe that I'm meant to be a part of supporting those, the positive next chapter for the community and how we grow and navigate that.
And so you are Creek Haven Inn and Spa. Mm-hmm. Is that how people can find you on Facebook and Instagram or a particular handle, or is that pretty much it?
That's pretty much it. Pretty much it's all in the name. And then our website's creekhaveninn.com, where we're also continually updating on our activities page to book yoga, spa, etc. But Instagram and Facebook are live updates, as it were.
And one thing that you alluded to is we talked about having our own workshops and retreat for people, but Creek Haven Inn is also a great place for businesses and small groups to have corporate offsites and small groups, especially on those early weekday.
Yes. We love the opportunity to support anyone's vision or mission for their own retreat. And we've got a lot of infrastructure to support that, great food, and just a really wonderful space for small groups.
Yeah, support such creative thinking. So last question, what advice would you have for anyone out there questioning whether or not they should take the big leap to follow their dreams or do something they're passionate about?
I would say that you got to try. Never hurts to try. You've always got to ask the questions and begin the leap. Do the research, whatever's in your respective area, right? Take an educated leap. And there are lots of resources out there to help navigate an educated leap. I personally love having conversations with people in a consultative way. If they're looking at things, I've consulted people as well on business acquisitions and transactions. It's not for everybody. But if you feel a very strong pull, that usually is coming from somewhere and it's worth exploring. Give it some space, give it some time to see how it comes up for you and just start getting curious with it and open that exploration up. So
thank you. Thank you so much for talking with us and talking through your journey.
Thank you. I know it was long-winded. Hopefully it was helpful.
It was good. No, it was great. I loved it. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And thank you for listening. If you liked it, tell your friends, follow us on Instagram or LinkedIn. The mission of MVP Business is to dig deep into the lives of true leaders so that others can follow, knowing that the path isn't always easy, but the journey is worth it. So enjoy the day and live with passion.